This is the Labor and Commerce Committee Vice Chair Neil Kopanen.
That's the microphone there.
Okay. Labor and Commerce Committee meeting in Fairbanks on catastrophic illness. What am I saying? Scratch that. Labor and Commerce Committee a meeting on workers' compensation. Members present, Representative Kopanen, Representative Davis, and Arthur Robeson, representing Unified Fairbanks. Well, has Unified Fairbanks reviewed the legislation? And
yes, at quite a bit of detail. We first started going into the problem generically before there was recommended legislation. This is back mid-December. Then when the first draft from WCCA came out, we reviewed that. The second draft, which was essentially the same as the first draft, but just cleaned up quite a bit. It added, I believe, three new sections. We went over that. We also did our own study and studied things related to the items mentioned in the draft in order to give a more complete picture. Our goal was to try to be able to reduce the premiums paid. That was our primary concern because Unified Fairbanks has more employers, small employers, than anything else. And so that was our basic goal. We kept in mind that WCCA felt that it should be a balance between labor and management so that you took a middle ground or balanced one possibility for an amendment against another one. Went along with that philosophy and generated a written report just about a week ago that as far as the WCCA recommendations up to date, we have not published our recommendations beyond this. That is for administrative corrections, for executive department corrections, things like that.
Like student division insurance, things like that?
Yeah. We had associated recommendations in that regard. We, because of at our last meeting, a representative from the governor's task force appeared. He met with WCCA and is a representative of the insurance industry, and basically it was a matter of trying to impress us with the realities that a majority of the legislature was irrevocably committed to passing of this bill in its present form without changing whether it lost money or not.
Who said that?
This is Gordon DePue.
I'm not entirely certain that that is a very wise comment for a member of the administration to make.
No, it wasn't a member of administration.
He's simply on the governor's task force.
Do we need to be on the record here? Is that important?
I don't know. There were three of us who specifically raised the question. Said, what are you trying to tell us? Are you saying the legislature has been bought? And he said, well, I wouldn't put it that way. Let's just say they're irrevocably committed. There will not be one word changed. We, as the governor's task force, fought this, but we were finally brought to see that this is what has occurred, and we have to accept it as it is. And they wanted us to basically stop making recommendations other than in support of their particular sections for fear it would mess up a deal that had otherwise been made.
I'm telling you, I don't think that's accurate at all.
No, I don't agree that it's accurate either, and said
in
so
fact,
at the time.
But I have some questions on this in various hearing committees, and people went, whoa, you're not supposed to touch this, you know? And the presentation was such that this is a compromise, we put it together, you guys can't change any of this. To tell the legislature that this is a compromise between labor and management, and you guys can't change any of that, is being pretty naive about the political system.
That's my favorite.
It's also rather insulting to the legislature.
And that, I thought, because we also got that from WCCA, that they had taken care of this, that it was absolutely lined up and going through, and the only thing we would do if we had any contrary recommendations or any amendments is screw it up, and nothing would pass. As it turned out, at that time, they were pleading for it to pass because they felt it would get about a 17% reduction in premium. The year has now started, the new higher premiums are in effect, and from this morning's testimony, it's easy to see that there will be no reduction in premium at the maximum, 0.2%
for this.
If the new bill goes through, and that's without considering, quote, soft, close quote, costs.
WCCA, or the ad hoc committee, submitted new amendments as of the 8th.
Okay,
I mean, they themselves have submitted new recommendations. I'm not certain what.
Let's see if I.
Let me say something about the way this was done, Art. Which
would that be these ones, Milo?
No, there's new ones after that too.
Let me say something about the way this was done, Art. In case you do it again, for me, for the layperson that's reading this legislation, this is unless you have the bill in front of you, it becomes rather difficult to read.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the one of the ways would be to have
set out the section of the bill and then our discussion
of it. And then underneath it.
The reason for that is that the bill takes 27 pages and ours takes 48 pages, and to put the two of them together, we felt nobody would read it. And that it was deliberately. We considered that format and decided, looking at the size of our comments, our recommendations, and this, we would discourage you if we put it all in one document because nobody'd carry it. Read it. I see the point, and I agree that would be an ideal format. This goes through exactly in the, in other words, one legislative intent, one
right.
legislative intent,
yeah,
et cetera, that way.
To be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to read this entire document, but I've read about 3/4 of it last. Interesting testimony. Now, this was what happened in the. We really need that on for me.
Subcommittee minutes are not printed.
Now, Nilo sits on the subcommittee, right? There's Walt Furness, you, and Donnelly, right?
Right.
Those are the three people. It's in subcommittee right now, my understanding is. And then they're going
to
make
the things I wanted to bring up were, and Mr. Lewis, who testified for the task force, said that there were a couple of other things that would be helpful, and he specifically said that passage of House Bill 53, which is raising the fines for workplace safety violations,
mm-hmm.
should have an effect within 2 years. Another thing, in other words, that the more crucial thing is reducing violations of workplace safety. Essentially, the employers who have few accidents are subsidizing those who have many, who very often are able to underbid them because they leave off worker safety.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you for an opinion, but that is one of the.
This is correct. It is a little bit ancillary. Surprisingly enough, the December issue of the Workers' Compensation Monthly, I believe it was, had a neat article on something that George Riley, who's the safety person from the university, has really been pushing on. It's between the attitude of the employer who calls at least once a week his injured employee and gets him back as quickly as possible to, you know, come and sit at the office and answer the phone, do whatever you can do, get back involved, and the cost of those who remain totally dissociated, such as the state does, don't want to touch anybody until they're completely recovered, is 40%.
Mm-hmm.
40% difference right there. Now, we don't even have in our workers' comp division anybody to promote this kind of loss reduction risk, whatever you want to call it, department. We probably should have, because a small employer can't afford to hire somebody like George Riley, who's been able to do it there. I mean, you take a look at the oil companies, look at what they can do on the slope. They've got a fantastic record because they're doing this sort of thing. There's a 40% reduction we could get for people. It's one of the things that we discussed specifically. It's a recommendation we took off of our draft report simply because we were told that we were, you know, muddying up the waters and killing the chance of the WICA bill to go through by bringing it on. I sent you, Nilo, you know, the stuff that we deleted from the report, which had been basically adopted and everything, but we were not sending in at that point because we didn't want to take the chance.
Another thing that we're getting is other states have a requirement that insurance companies offering workers' comp must have on staff in the state,
mm-hmm.
a safety engineer, for example,
right.
or other kinds of services. And we've found that looking at other state statutes, that much of the paperwork that our statutes give to the employer is to be done by the insurance company. Do the employers here in Unified Fairbanks feel that the burden of the paperwork falls directly on them?
Not the burden of the because we have no loss reduction or whatever you want to call it program, except by a couple of individual employers. And so a lot of these people were really surprised at something like that, really want to look at it because of the margin. This thing came out fortuitously after George Riley had been pounding us about it for a while, and that's a heck of a saving to be able to make. Certainly, anybody with their who is not insured but who is self-insured on workers' comp is into that already.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the state may be, but they're not doing it.
There's also House Bill 313, which was essentially a cooling off period for raises in workers' comp. In other words, forcing a leveling out of things.
Yeah, now the testimony from the Alaska Classification and Rating Committee, which is simply an organization of the nine carriers that write workers' comp in Alaska, they were asked specifically about this morning. They said two things. Number one, they do not know of any rate increase that is in the wind, in the mill. Number two, they will not, sort of a commitment, that's the way it was stated as a commitment, they wouldn't be putting in for anything until at least the beginning of next year. They made no commitment as to where they'd go next year, but that I know was a concern, and they were asked about that, and I feel the man was representing them fairly and doing a good job of representing them and saying that they will not try to jack up the price mid-year or anything like this.
Did Fairbanks business have an opportunity, or did who in Fairbanks was involved in the WCCA work, Governor's Task Force work?
Joe Thomas was on the WCCA task force. However, I read the background that they gave. They indicated that the task force had been meeting weekly for a year, etc. Joe knows nothing about this. I think what they mean to say in there is that WCCA had been meeting for about a year, and recently, sometime this past fall, they started the task force. Joe wasn't appointed on it until, I believe, December. That was the first time he knew he was supposed to be on the thing, and so it can't have had many meetings before that. On the other hand, Kevin Doherty, the laborer's attorney in Anchorage, has been going for some period of time since along in the fall somewhere. The distinction between WCCA and their task force is considerably blurred in the promotion for this bill.
All right.
Put it that way.
Yeah,
what would you like?